At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold. Drew Nixon with you, Logan Weber. He is filling in for Cody today and a couple other shows leading into next Wednesday. Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, joined us earlier today. If you missed that conversation, we'll bring that back to you around 1:35. Not only did we talk some NFL with him, I thought he had some really interesting answers and in perspective from a player's point of view on the gambling scandals that have been happening in sports. Obviously, the Guardians with Emmanuel Clase on the baseball end. And so we spent some time talking to him about that towards the end of the interview. I just thought it was good perspective on like how they're seeing it. How often does it get brought up? Is it something that they notice? All this kind of stuff. So I thought Vinny was really good on that earlier today. We'll bring that back to you at 1:30. Hope to have Nate on either next week or later this week. I just had to move around scheduling and timing of some things. So no Nate Taylor today. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And so that's when we'll get a little more update and insight on Josh Simmons, on Isaiah Pacheco's status heading into the Denver Broncos game on Sunday, 3:25 right here. A 96.5 The Fan. Before we get into baseball and thinking of sports betting, something that the league just announced in the last 24 hours or so. Last night, Tush Push Bowl essentially is what we had. It was the Packers who wanted to ban the Tush Push, going up against the Eagles, who of course have been the kings of the Tush Push. And I think, one, it was a boring game last night. It was worse than the Thursday night game last week with the Raiders and Broncos.
Awful.
Right?
It was awful.
It was way worse. And starting with the Tush Push, and then we can get into the two teams, and it kind of carries over our Super Bowl contender conversation. But last night, yet again, there was a Tush Push from the Packers initially, where they clearly false started. They didn't call it. Then the Eagles, I don't know, the whole left side of the line moved early, like we've seen early. They didn't call it. Then later in the game, the third time, after they blatantly missed it twice on the field, the refs did, then they called the Packers, of course, for a false start. Meanwhile, Sirianni was complaining about it, which was just, I mean, rich as heck, that the head coach of the team that gets away with the false starts more than anybody was doing it. Yet again, we have seen the officials on the field are unable to officiate QB sneak slash tush push, and they cannot evaluate the false starts whatsoever. It's mind-boggling, and as we say every time this becomes a story again, a couple more months of it, just a couple more months, and then this thing is done in March.
Oh, it's dead.
It is completely dead. Now, the folks in Philly, I was listening to some of their radio show earlier today, and they're under the impression that the league is now intentionally not calling it to make it so blatant that it does get banned. Look, I think it is getting so blatant that it will get banned. I don't know if the league is intentionally not calling it. That doesn't make sense to me. That's full-blown conspiracy. But I would agree with the notion that because it's gotten so absurd and they can't call it, that it is toast in March.
Yeah, the only other way that I could see the Tush Push surviving this league, surviving in this league, I should say, is for there to be some sort of retroactive review following a Tush Push, because it is so impossible for them to officiate. I mean, depending on where your angle is, if you're down the line, it's hard for you to see the guards moving. If you're behind the line of scrimmage, right, you're where the white hat is necessarily. You might see the guards moving, but you can't see the football. So you've got no idea if they're moving earlier. Just depending on your position on the field, you alone cannot officiate how that play is conducted. So if you are allowing it to be reviewed retroactively following a play, then yeah, you could allow the play to continue and it can be properly officiated after the play is over. But then everybody's going to beep and moan about reviewing a play like this in the National Football League. And so I feel like the easiest way to go about it is to get rid of it. The NFL, like every other professional sport, is an entertainment business. They've changed the rules behind the kickoff because kickoffs became so boring in the National Football League. They had to do something to change it because it is about the entertainment value of the product. The Tush Push is more boring than kickoffs were 3 years ago at this point. It is just completely egregious. The best course of action is to ban it, but I could see them trying to keep it alive by doing this retroactive review after the play is over, although I believe that would be completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the review part is interesting. Like, do we want them reviewing false starts? Not really. Like that's the issue.
Because if you're reviewing the Tush Push, then it becomes, oh well, let's review all false starts.
Correct. And I don't want that. My thing has been pretty simple. Like in general, admittedly, for the last couple of years, I don't like the Tush Push. I think it is a boring play. Number one. Number two, and that alone is not a reason probably to ban something. I'll admit that. But this year in particular, when it has become so obvious that they are unable to officiate the play properly, I think that's when I've gotten everybody on board. Like before, you might have said, hey man, they just do it better than everybody else. Stop complaining. Or saying it's boring is not good enough. Right, and that might have been your take when I said to ban it. But now that you can't officiate it properly, it needs to go away. Someone on the text line said, you got to ban QB sneaks because there's no difference. Like QB sneaks have been around forever though, right? That's been around forever. And so, you know, if teams are going to be doing QB sneaks, then so be it. You cannot allow them to push the quarterback and have false starts, is guess what I'm saying. Yeah. Like that is too much of an advantage for the offense, plain and simple.
In my opinion, there is absolutely a difference between a quarterback sneak and the Tush Push. Look at how the Tush Push is conducted.
You want to act that out? Drew, get in here.
Tight end on either side of the quarterback who's under center. The running back's 2 yards behind, 2 yards off the line of scrimmage. And all three of those guys basically run up and pick this man up and take him over there. The Tush Push and a quarterback sneak are wildly different, where you might have one guy maybe a yard or two off the quarterback to help push him along, but that running back's still 5 or 6 yards deep in the backfield typically in a quarterback sneak scenario. You're not seeing 22 guys within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage on a normal quarterback sneak the way that you do with the Tush Push.
Now, if people were mentioning maybe this is the compromise. Look, I think the whole play is going to get banned this offseason, but let's just say there's a compromise. To avoid what I was wondering, which is I don't want them reviewing every false start. Could you go in and say, this is what's just Tush Push plays are reviewable? But that's like so specific.
Yes.
That's why it's way easier just to get rid of the play than say, all right, no, you can still do the Tush Push, but that's the one time we're going to let you review the play.
Yeah, because you have
to. The Eagles did it, earlier this year. They did it on like 4 straight plays. Remember that near the goal line? I don't remember what game that was. Like week 3?
Something like that. Yeah, then they ran
imagine
the fake Tush Push.
You want to have a review 3 plays in a row? No, absolutely not.
And if you don't get hyper specific on it, then you're going to leave it open to interpretation, which is just going to be even more of a headache because teams are going to start to petition for, hey, you should be able to review this play or review that play. So you're either going to have to create a hyper specific rule around one very boring and strange play in the league, or just make the easy decision and get rid of it entirely.
Isn't that something too? Like, if they, if, in fairness, if they, for that one where they ran four in a row,
yeah.
If one of them's reviewed and it's a false start, they're not running the play again, I guess, theoretically speaking, because it'd be 5
potentially,
yards.
Potentially, you're right. Yeah,
but
potentially.
I wonder if they did do the review for the, isn't that something where they could just have like the fourth official or whatever page in and within, it wouldn't take but 15 seconds, you would presume, to say, hey, we need this reviewed. Do
expedited
it.
Yes, review.
False start. Like, it feels like that, of all things, could be an expedited review where you don't need to look at angles or anything. It's just right down the line. Did they move early? Plain and simple, yes or no.
How about this? Someone says, see, these are all compromises. I think they're past that. I think it's just flat out going to get banned, but we can keep talking about it. These are compromises from people. Someone said, hey, how about the tush push is only allowed on fourth down, 2 yards or longer? I mean, fine, I guess. I don't know. Like, I mean, fine. I mean, at that point, you're basically, I mean,
only allowed on fourth down, I think, is something that's intriguing, I think.
Make it like onside kicks where they have to, like,
but majority of the time, I know the Eagles do it.
Let the officials know that they're going to be doing it before they do it.
You only allowed on fourth down, but of 2 yards or longer, though. I mean, I guess at that point, maybe you're just saying the Eagles basically stop running it altogether on their own. I just think this thing is getting...
The fact that we're going through different scenarios feels like it's just...
Someone says, what's the banning? What's the banning language? Formation, the way it lines up. The fact that you cannot have the ball carrier, in this case, like the quarterback, I guess, or whoever is getting the ball, right? Because it could, technically there could be some variation, even though the Eagles just do it with Jalen Hurts. You cannot have any player push the quarterback in that scenario, or the ball carrier in that scenario, at the snap of the ball, I guess, would be... The I don't know the exact language. I'm not a rules expert, but
yeah,
it would be something like that.
Greater enforcement of the rules behind an illegal formation, because that's the one thing I don't feel like is being discussed enough with the tush push. It is an illegal formation. In the NFL rules, the offensive line, the guards of the offensive line have to be lined up at the hip of the center. These guys are lining up at the shoulder pads of the center on this tush push play. The center is lined up over the football. That is also illegal in terms of a formation in the National Football League. So all of those different things have got to be enforced more aggressively than they are.
It's just a play they don't officiate properly. I've made it all about the false start, but you guys remember 3 weeks ago, there was the forward progress aspect of it where Jalen Hurts clearly, like, they stopped his forward progress. Remember, he fumbled the football, but they said, no, forward progress, stop. Well, then they give them the benefit of the doubt on the forward progress so much as well. It's just a play that they truly are unable to figure out officiating. That is it. So we'll see. It happened again last night. It was also just an ugly football game. It was a terrible
awful,
game.
Man.
What do you make of both these teams right now? I mean, we were already doing our contender stuff. Like, the Eagles... they're going to easily win the NFC East now. They're up like 4 games, I think it is. It's crazy. I mean, the Cowboys stink. The Commanders stink. The Giants stink. It's that division's over. The Eagles will be one of the top 3 seeds, probably a top 2 seed in the NFC postseason. I'm still not impressed. Jalen Hurts, look, they're a Super Bowl contender. Duh. That's why they were on my list. But Jalen Hurts, this will probably be his way the whole career. He's already got a ring in his back pocket, and he has played amazing in the Super Bowl. So I don't want to take that away from him. I still watch him play in the regular season. There's plenty of times where I'm just not impressed. I'm just like, what? So that's just their setup, whatever. Obviously, I can't stand their head coach or anything like that either, but that's beyond the point. They're a Super Bowl contender. I think they're still very, very vulnerable, though, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The Packers, I still think they're a contender, but they... their weapons on offense right now without Tucker Kraft, it's a big problem for them offensively.
No question. Going along the same lines with the Eagles, what was the strength of their offense a year ago is now arguably the weakness of their offense this year, and that is the front five. Their offensive line is not playing good football compared to where they were a year ago. Jalen Hurts has been sacked quite a few times over the course of, I believe he's one of the most sacked quarterbacks in football this year, and we've seen what it's done to Saquon Barkley's productivity. It is in the tank. He is a middling running back in the National Football League this year, despite being 6th in the league in carries. He's like 15th in yards. So I don't really have a ton of confidence in the Eagles being able to win three playoff games if Jalen Hurts is the guy that's going to have to win you all three, right? Yeah, one off here or there, like in the Super Bowl last year, fine. But if he would have had to have done that in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs, I just don't necessarily believe in it. And for the Packers, they have seemed to kind of go as Josh Jacobs goes. And if you slow him down and you put the ball in Jordan Love's hands and say, hey, go do it, especially with no Romeo Doubs and with, you know, Tucker Kraft banged up as well, even with Christian Watson back, they're still not, you know, they're still not all the way there. And while I think both of these teams have great defenses, offense can win you some big time playoff games when it's needed. And I'm not sure either of these offenses is going to be able to win a shootout if it comes to that.
It's amazing how quickly things change in the NFL. The first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, the Packers looked like the clear Super Bowl favorite, right?
Yeah.
And now they look like a wild card, like they're going to be a wild card team. I think the Lions are going to end up winning the NFC North now. I think we kind of agree on that. So Packers, a dangerous wild card team, though. All right, we'll get into some Major League Baseball stuff on the announcement side in a second. I do want to pass some news on, I should say, from the Royals. We were just talking trade stuff. They made a minor move again just about 10 minutes ago. Just got an alert from the Royals. The Royals have announced they acquired right-handed pitcher Mason Black from the San Francisco Giants for the right-handed pitcher Logan Martin. So if you're wondering the backstory, Mason Black was designated for assignment by the Giants last week, 25 years old, stint with the Giants last year, made one appearance, four innings in relief, struck out five. He spent the remainder of the season with AAA Sacramento, 3-10 with a 5.81 ERA. He debuted with San Francisco in 2024, former third-round pick in 2021. A similar move to the outfielder yesterday, a guy that was designated for assignment, was available, obviously, to make a trade. You don't give up a whole lot. Add some pitching depth to the organization. It's fine, right?
Yeah, high draft pick, yep. You know, former third-rounder who believe, you know, the Royals obviously still believe has promise left in his career. He's only 25 years old. He hasn't had tremendous success at the major league level yet, but he's gotten there and he did it in less than 3 years. So there's something to be said for that. And we've seen the success that the Royals have had with pitching prospects that they've been able to really develop with guys like Cole Reagans coming over from Texas and Bubich and Noah Cameron, and the list goes on. So maybe they think they can replicate it, especially if they're trying to dump off some of the pitching depth that they already have.
So the Royals last 2 days, two minor moves, but active already to a certain extent there as we head into GM meetings in like a week or so, whatever, later this week or a week from now. So things, you'll start to hear more and more rumors. I know John Morosi was reporting that the Royals are looking for outfielders. We just got done having that conversation the last half hour about what it would take to maybe to acquire an outfielder. But that is the latest move from the Kansas City Royals. Meanwhile, in Major League Baseball, they announced an agreement with the major sports books, so your FanDuels, your DraftKings, etc., that there's going to be a nationwide cap of $200 bets on those pitch level market wagers, or what most people call, or other people call, micro bets. You guys have probably heard that phrase as well. These are the ball strike bets, the pitch velocity bets. That is what we were discussing with the Emmanuel Clase, Luis Ortiz scandal involving the FBI and $500,000, etc. So this also prevents you from doing a parlay with those. You can't parlay, you know, Class A ball, Class A 95 mile per hour pitch or whatever, right? You can't parlay those anymore, and it's capped at $200. Is this good enough to stave off, you know, a bigger overhaul push from legislators? That's kind of the question, because I think the optics, they had to show that they were going to do something. This does feel like the sports books are kind of saying, all right, we'll kind of do this ourselves. Just like, hey, take it easy kind of thing, right? Like, that's kind of what it feels like. Whereas I don't think this will completely stop some states, because remember, this is legal by state. State by state, every state has a little bit different policy on it. Not for this nationwide ban, but if you're going to say you can bet on prop bets or whatever, I think there will still be some states that introduce legislation trying to ban prop bets or ban unders or whatever. And I think it's all optics, though. I guess I don't believe any of this will completely deter anything. It makes it more challenging, and I'm all for trying to make it more challenging for people to commit crimes, right? Okay. Like, however, if we're acting like either this cap of $200 or banning unders on the legal sports books is just going to end any possibility, I think we'd be kind of naive. I mean, way before legalized sports betting, we had gambling scandals in the NBA with referees. We had gambling with the Black Sox way back in the day. People will bet offshore. Like, if you could go on Bovada, which is an offshore book, illegal, by the way, you could go there and still bet more than $200 on this same market. It's like, if you still want to do it, you can still do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So to me, this is more about optics. Like, show to people that you care and you're trying to limit it. That's all this is.
By the way,
I'm for it. I have no issue with this. I'm just saying, let's not act like this is the solution or anything like that.
Yeah, this is all about, oh, look at what we did, right? It's about saving face. And, you know, I'm one of those people that is of the opinion, and we heard from Vinny earlier talking about this. He's like, we have people from the MLB come every year and tell us not to do it. We have NBA people get the same conversations. NFL people, I know for a fact, get the same conversation every year. And sometimes people are just not going to get out of their own way, and they're going to make stupid decisions that none of us are going to be able to control. And that is an unfortunate part of, I guess you could say, society as a whole. You're never going to be able to stop it completely, I guess you could say. But I mean, it's a good show that they're at least trying. And I think maybe that's what they're doing here with this nationwide cap, is trying to stave off potential legislators from getting involved in doing things, which they're doing for the sake of, you know, their own future campaigns and things that they're trying to get.
Yeah, but like, as we know, I mean, I don't care whether we're talking about sports betting or some other, organized crime or criminal enterprise or whatever. Like, people will find different ways to try to maneuver around any hurdle you place. If they like, if someone wants to, do this, right? Has some sort of scheme to defraud the sports books and obviously rig something, people will continue to find new avenues, even if you can try to close loopholes, and you should.
Yeah, and it will stop some, which is
good.
But, like,
there's other, I mean, there's you know, a lot of speculation already that you have these secondary accounts of people. I don't know if satellite's the right word. I'm trying to think of the right word. But basically, just because you're part of a group that is doing something like this, you might have multiple other accounts with other people that are trying to do these bets. Like, that's the kind of stuff that needs to be probably cracked down more, is like the verification process of the vetting of these accounts that are created. And anybody that's made a sportsbook account through the apps knows that they ask for, like, your driver's license, thing like that. But that doesn't mean that those are foolproof systems either, by any means.
Yeah, we saw, I mean, as an Iowa guy, I guess you could say, quote unquote, like, I mean, there was a huge scandal in the college athletics ranks in the state of Iowa of players at the University of Iowa and at Iowa State and other schools statewide who were, you know, making accounts using their friend's information or their mother's information, whoever it might, you know, to try to make these sports betting accounts. So people are going to find way. I mean, I remember guys when I was going to school in college that would drive up to the Iowa border. So that way, that's where their location, you know, their location said they were in Iowa. They would make their sports bets and then drive back to Missouri. So there's always ways, I guess, to bypass the system, but
proxy bets.
Give them a little bit of credit for, because it is going to deter some people away from doing this, but it's not going to deter everybody, obviously.
So we'll see if any of the other leagues do this with their, like, so the NBA should probably say, all right, for under bets, I don't think they want to, but the sportsbooks probably don't want to, but $200, is there a $200 limit on under bets for certain player props? But I'll continue to say this, that will not prevent the people that want to make the larger bets from going to your Bovadas or Bet Online's and these other illegal offshore.
They already got rid of a couple things too with the NBA. Like, you can't bet on turnovers anymore. Used to be able to bet on turnovers. So they've gotten rid of some of those things already.
These individual sports, there's a lot. Like, the NBA and baseball can be manipulated way more than the NFL. It just can. I'm not saying that there will never be a scandal in the NFL. I'm just saying, like, it is just the nature of the way the sport is set up. Like, you know, yes, can you intentionally throw an interception? I guess, but how obvious is that going to be? Like,
when you're one of 22, you can't quite have the same impact as if you're one of nine or one of five. Just sheer numbers.
Yeah. So we'll see. But that was just an update on the Major League Baseball side of things. All right, let's get to what's trending. And then earlier today, Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, joined us. We asked him about the NFL and this Major League Baseball betting scandal and what he has heard from the league over the years on about betting, the reaction that players have to seeing something like this. That's coming up next.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, we just mentioned this. The Royals made a minor trade today. They've acquired right-handed pitcher Mason Black from the Giants in exchange for right-handed pitcher Logan Martin. So Black made one appearance in the big leagues last year, former third-round pick back in 2021. He was designated for assignment by the Giants last week. So kind of similar to the outfielder that they acquired yesterday, another player that was designated for assignment. Add some pitching depth, compete in spring training. That's kind of how I view this trade. Doesn't mean that Mason Black can't have an impact, but it's just a nice, smart roster move heading into spring training to give yourself some options there.
Yeah, certainly opens up the avenue again for what we've talked about several times today, which is trading away some of that pitching depth to try to get you an outfield bat, because this Royals team absolutely needs it in order to take that next step. Number two, I've got Mecole Hardman signing with the Buffalo Bills. Not to the active roster, to the practice squad. On top of that, another former Chief, Juan Thornhill, was released by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's heading to waivers. If he clears waivers, he will be a free agent. So a couple of former Chiefs on the move, one signing with a team, one becoming inevitably probably a free agent.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, the American League and National League Rookie of the Years were announced last night. On the AL side, it was Nick Kurtz from the A's. Noah Cameron finished fourth in Rookie of the Year balloting behind Jacob Wilson and Roman Anthony. On the NL side, Drake Baldwin, catcher for the Atlanta Braves, That's how the awards market went. We'll find out MVP, like, is it later this week, next week? We've talked about this, how absurd and late the awards are for Major League Baseball, but they're slowly trickling out.
Slowly but surely. What's up on what's next here on What's Trending? The Mavericks have officially fired GM Nico Harrison less than a year after the now infamous Luka Doncic trade. The fan base never got back on the train afterwards, even after they drafted Cooper Flagg number one overall. In fact, I believe it was last night against the Milwaukee Bucks, they were winning and the fans were chanting "Fire Nico" during a timeout. That's how bad things were getting in Dallas. It was about time. They should have traded him before he even took that phone call from Rob Pelinka.
What a mess is all I got to say.
That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, look, the trade we all know is terrible. It's horrific. Then let him go and draft. Now, Cooper Flagg was an obvious pick, but like, let him go and draft. And then let him start the season, and now you fire him. Goes back to the Giants conversation we had yesterday. They let Brian Daboll and the GM draft. Then they fire Daboll. They're keeping the GM. So then he'll hire a new head coach. And then if things go south for another year, they'll fire that GM. And then that GM won't like that coach. And he'll fire that coach. And these are how organizations just suck.
Yep.
That's all I got to say.
What a wild two years for Nico Harrison. He's the GM of a team that gets to the NBA Finals, right? This guy acquired Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. They got to an NBA Finals. He then, less than a season later, trades away his best player, gets the number one overall pick, drafts Cooper Flagg, and 6 months after that, he's fired. That's a whirlwind 24 months for Nico Harrison.
Lastly on What's Trending, Drew's favorite quarterback other than Joe Burrow, the Browns are not opening Deshaun Watson's 21-day practice window this week, but he continues to make excellent progress in his rehab from the re-ruptured Achilles.
If he's my favorite quarterback, I want the Bengals to face in every game. Then hey, okay. I mean, I guess so. But
that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. As you can hear, Logan Weber.
I like Josh Allen more than I like Deshaun Watson. You know, I'm a prescribed Josh Allen hater.
You are a Josh Allen hater. Logan Weber's filling in for Cody today, also on Friday and a few days next week. Bank will be in on Wednesday and Thursday. All the best to Cody. He is, as you talked about yesterday, having a procedure done later on today, and he's expected back next Wednesday. Earlier today, our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, joined us. We, of course, talked NFL, but towards the end of this conversation, you'll hear us discuss the betting scandal in baseball, his thoughts on that, and just the athlete's point of view and how often that gets discussed by them. But we did start our conversation talking about the Jets, who, got a win. Some people saying tank for the draft, but as you guys know, Vinny's all about just winning.
Yeah, mostly because I invest 3 hours of every Sunday watching them. So I don't want them to lose. That would be miserable for me to try to watch a team lose. I understand why people say it, but I'm not a fan of it. I like watching teams win. So anytime you can get a victory, I'm pretty happy about it. And now everybody needs to watch them on Thursday night against the New England Patriots. So
I wouldn't.
When you add up both of their winning streaks, they haven't lost in 9 games. So.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs fans would love for your Jets to pull off an upset on the Patriots a little bit there.
Yeah. So tune in on Thursday night. Maybe it'll happen. It probably won't, but maybe it will.
All right, Vinny, earlier in the show, we were trying to list like Super Bowl contenders, right? And not necessarily just teams who you believe are capable of like getting to an AFC or an NFC championship game, but teams that you believe are legitimate contenders for hoisting a Lombardi trophy at some point at the end of the year. We each had, you know, very similar lists, 4 or 5. Drew had 8 teams on his list. Can you give us like 4 or 5 teams that you believe are seriously capable of winning a Super Bowl?
I think you start in the NFC and you go with the Seahawks and the Rams and the Eagles. Those would be the 3 for me. And if I'm forgetting anybody in that league, I don't really care. Those would be my 3 from there. And then I'd say out of the AFC, whoever gets the 1 seed, I would consider to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender just because 1 less game. And then the Chiefs and the Bills are who I would say, because they've done it. Not that the Bills have won the Super Bowl before, but they have gotten to the AFC Championship.
Right.
Those would be my teams. I The Colts scare me. However, if the Colts do get the one seed, like I said, one less game, I guess the Patriots are pretty good, but I haven't seen them up close and personal yet, so I'll get back to you after Thursday night when I watch my film on them. But apparently Drake May's been going off, huh? He's been really good.
Yeah, he's a co-favorite to be the MVP in his second year as a starting quarterback. And the Colts thing is, look, Jonathan Taylor has been unbelievable. There's a lot of people that think he should win MVP, even though we know that's a quarterback award for the last decade or so in the NFL. My issue is what we saw the last 2 weeks for Daniel Jones. Like, 7 turnovers combined, 6 of them in 1 week. And I'm still always worried. I guess not worried, but I believe the Colts will have a Daniel Jones game. And to your point, that's why I think the number one seed is far more important for the Colts to get it than even the Patriots.
Well, I have a ridiculous thing to say. And like I've said for years on this show, with how ignorant I am with football, you cannot take what I say too seriously. But everything I hear and see from coaches and players says you have to be able to run the ball and stop the run in the playoffs because it's cold weather, harder to throw.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really matter for Indianapolis because they play inside. So I don't know how much of an advantage it is for them to be able to run the ball as well as they do because it won't be cold if they have home games. So teams will be able to go in there and throw the ball. I don't know if that made any sense or not. If there's people listening to this, I'm sorry for disgracing the game that we all love. But that's how I feel.
No, I get what you're saying. My thing has been that I think they need the bye. One, it's obviously, as you said, one less game. But the weather thing, meaning like while they can run the ball, I don't know if the Colts operation, though, we haven't really seen it have to travel in cold weather yet. Like, I know people will assume that, well, Jonathan Taylor can run in the cold and Daniel Jones can play in the cold. He played in New York. My thing with them is I want to know what do they look like? Is their offense as good when they have to go play in a cold weather city? Whereas if they're the number one seed, it's less games. And what you just said, they don't have to play on the road. So I viewed it as more of an advantage. I get what you're saying, which is if you're a Chiefs offense or any other, let's say there's not really a warm weather city other than the Chargers maybe that are going to make the playoffs, it feels like, in the AFC. But if one of those teams had to go to Indy, it's not as problematic as what you're saying.
Yeah, and also I'm about to get kicked out of Kansas City for saying what I'm about to say.
Oh boy, be careful.
From a casual football fan perspective, not as a Kansas City fan, even though certain former NFL players think that baseball is the only sports that has dynasties, from a casual fan perspective, it would be cool to see another team get to play for a championship. Again, I'd rather the Chiefs win if the Jets can't. But from a national perspective, it could be cool if the Colts randomly get to the Super Bowl. How mad did I just make you right there? Did you hang up on me?
I personally didn't think it was cool.
We should. The text line's not going to like that, Vinny. We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. Well, then how about, can we agree then the Eagles can stop winning? Because I don't need to see them start a dynasty.
If you think I want the Eagles to win, you're nuts.
Last night, by the way. Last night, did you watch that at all? That mess of a football game, the Tush Push Bowl?
I have YouTube TV, so I couldn't watch. So shout out to YouTube TV and Disney and ESPN for not being able to allow some consumers to watch. And I will not be getting the ESPN app.
So why don't you get the... So it is ridiculous. I'm with you. And the fact that you have to apply for a $20 credit instead of them just automatically giving you a $20 credit is absolutely insane. But why don't you just go with the indoor antenna? Like, they're like $25 and you plug it right in the old coaxial input or whatever it's called.
I'm going to be completely honest. I don't even know what that means.
Vinny, you just go. It's go on Amazon, HD indoor antenna, and you plug it in the back of your TV and you can get any of the local channels with no delay for free.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how
like
I watch
old school cable.
Exactly. And so I like it mainly because there's no delay for Sunday Night Football anyway. Well, long before this ESPN YouTube dispute, I watch Sunday Night Football that way. That way there's no delay.
Huh. Now that sounds like a fun idea. I prefer the no delay. I was a DirecTV customer for a long time simply because I didn't want the delay. Okay. I'll look into it.
You should. I think you'll enjoy that part of it. All right. You mentioned dynasties and all that. As a Jets fan, what do you make of the Patriots, though? Because they go from Brady to Mac Jones for a few years, but it looks like they got their franchise quarterback already. Meanwhile, we know what's going on in New York.
I hate it. I'm very hopeful that this new regime of general manager and head coach are able to find some stability within the organization. And yeah, it's not the most fun that I got to watch Brady my entire childhood, and now I'm watching Drake May. And what's even worse is I kind of know him. So that sucks because I like him.
You know Drake May? Can you explain that? How do you know? What's the connection?
Indirectly. I played with his brother in a collegiate summer ball, so I've met him. I don't know him. I was too dramatic there, but I've met him. But he was nice. So, and I have a soft spot for nice people.
There you go.
Interesting. Well, you know, Vinny, we're giving you a hard time over the Drake May thing being a Jets fan. It seems like the Jets are more likely than not going to have a pretty high draft pick coming up in 2026, you know, and I don't know how much you watch, you know, college football or anything like that. It's a little too early to ask this question maybe in the month of November, but is there a quarterback you've seen at the college level that you would like to see maybe be the new potential franchise QB for your Jets?
Well, according to my Madden franchise, we're going to draft Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana. He's 6'5", 240 pounds. How much more could you want? That's all I need to see.
He is going to be one of the top quarterbacks taken. There's no doubt. Yeah. Him or Ty Simpson, I think, the kid out of Alabama. Now, the Chiefs, as you know, and we in the past, you have spoken about your hate for the Broncos, and it is Broncos week in Kansas City. This is a must-win game. If the Chiefs have any chance to win the division, they have to win on Sunday, Vinny.
That's adorable that you consider this game a must-win. Must be nice to be considering division games just in terms to win the division, must-win games. They're going to win the game.
Okay. They're going to win.
That's it. They're going to win the game. It's as simple as that. So they're going to win. The Broncos will be 8-3. The Chiefs will be what? 6-4?
Yep.
And then they make their move towards the division. That's me calling my shot right there because
I like it.
As we all know, I'm a Chiefs lover.
Right.
I feel like I've made that clear throughout the years. But more importantly, I'm a Broncos hater. We hate them.
We do, as we're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. Two final questions. One is non-football related. One is baseball. Let me get to your bottom five, though, in the NFL. We do this every couple weeks as well. You gave us your Super Bowl contenders. Give me your bottom five. The Jets get a win. Where are they at now?
The Browns are number one on that list because they lost to the Jets. I'm very ignorant when it comes to football, but I would think at some point you're probably going to give Shador a shot there.
Okay.
The Jets have they traded away their two best defensive players. Now, I will say they won the game mostly because they returned a punt and a kick back-to-back, but still, they're in there. The Saints are still in there. The Jets are still in there. The Broncos are, of course, in there. And, who else is horrible? I'm going to put the Giants in there since they just fired their coach.
Yeah, they're a mess.
And the Titans, of course.
Yeah, it's Cam Ward. It's been rough, to say the least, in year one for one Cam Ward. All right, that's the bottom five from Vinny. Last one for you. Just this is more out of curiosity. I think people wondering here in Kansas City, when they hear all this stuff that's out there with baseball and these gambling scandals and all that, how often do players have that, I guess, discussed, you know, from the league or from the PA, when you see now this Class A stuff and gambling scandals? It's happened in the NBA as well. And is this something that there's a point of emphasis every year? Do you know, is it happening more that you guys are being told, hey, remember certain things? I mean, this one seems pretty obvious, but the whole betting aspect of that.
Yeah, I mean, we hear it every year. MLB security comes in and they make it very clear what you can and can't do. And it's pretty simple. You cannot bet on baseball or softball, regardless of if you're playing, not playing, whatever it is, baseball and softball, you cannot touch. You can bet on anything else. So it's unfortunate, that's for sure. It hurts more for Cleveland fans because they lost, you know, one of their back-end guys, really good pitcher, obviously, and then another guy who was pretty solid too. So I've got no sympathy for it. It's pretty simple. You can't bet on that stuff. I don't know. It's just it's hard to comprehend why they did it. Maybe something was going on. Who knows? But yeah, it's unfortunate for them, for the game, for everybody. Just don't do it. Pretty simple.
I would assume as a player, there's no way you face Class A, I'm sure numerous times in your career now at this point. I mean, it's one of those things where you as a player, as an opposing batter, you probably would have no clue that something like that was happening.
No, not even, no. You'd have no idea. There's just no way to even, I don't know. I always assume the best, so I would assume that nobody's ever doing that. But it just, it sucks. It taints the game for a little bit, and that's unfortunate. But hopefully we can, hopefully everybody can get through this thing and, get back to playing regular baseball. Not that it wasn't, but it just sucks.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I think it's, we've talked about just as sports fan, whether we're talking about NBA or NFL, it's like now anytime anything happens, you're going to have some people, not all fans, you're going to have some people wondering, and that's the unfortunate thing, because 99% of what is happening in these leagues that we love and sports we love is all on the up and up. But you have, of course, some bad actors. Here's another example of it. And it unfortunately opens, Pandora's box for some sports fans. I think that is unfortunate, and I can't imagine on the players.
That's the issue with betting on a single pitch or a single play, is a pitcher can lose a ball at any given time, throwing off the backstop, whatever it is, or a guy could make an error, or a guy can swing and miss, or a guy could take a pitch down the middle. It doesn't mean that they're – like, honestly, that's one of the most common – messages we get from fans nowadays is that we were betting on the game. Whenever anything goes wrong, it's like, oh, you sold to Vegas, blah, 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 something like that. It's like, nope. I just grounded into a double play. I didn't want to do that.
Do you think
I struck out a few times tonight. It had nothing to do with anything other than it was a tough night.
I hope you don't be asking this. Like, do you think fans should be able to bet though on sports? Because what you're saying, that it sounds like you get, I don't know if you get messages, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but people interact with you and are acting, maybe they're upset. I don't know if you ever had that happen because of they lost a bet or something.
Yeah, I mean, like it's clearly something that makes a lot of money. So it's probably, until something terrible happens, it's probably not going to go away. So I think people can do whatever they want. I think just people need to realize you need to bet responsibly, and you shouldn't be betting enough that you get so angry that you take it out on the players that are out there playing. Like, I think the most pure form of sport is if you're at home or at a sports bar or something and nobody is betting and you're just simply rooting on the teams to win or lose. That's probably the most enjoyable way for me, at least, to watch sports, not sweating out like a over under in a football game and not even paying attention to the game, just paying attention to the bets that I have.
So that was Vinny Pasquantino, our VFL insider. I thought really interesting stuff from him at the end of the conversation, knowing what has been going on in sports here recently, and certainly Major League Baseball in the last 48 hours or so with the Emmanuel Class A stuff. And what he was mentioning at the end there is what we've hit on, which is the prop bet individual pitch type stuff is where there's going to be more of a crackdown, I think, because it is just way too easy to manipulate. But also, there are fans, and this happens at all levels, and it's why I think the state of Ohio introduced some legislation to make, I can't remember what level of crime, but if you send a message to an athlete threatening them because you lost your damn bet, one, you got some issues, but two, legal consequences. I think Ohio is one that, I don't know if it passed it, but someone can double check. I believe the state of Ohio at least was in the process of passing something specifically for college athletes. But I would argue if you threaten any athlete, professional or college, and you're angry because you lost a bet, that should be, it should be treated as harassment and among other things.
I was going to say, I think I remember that was directed mainly towards the college side of things. I don't know if it includes...
It should include pros. Why not?
Or baseball or basketball or hockey or whatever that they got in Ohio.
It seems even sicker when it's an 18-year-old kid. I get that.
Oh, yeah.
But also, 28-year-old making $30 million doesn't mean you should tell him to go, you know what, or whatever.
Because he was 1 point short of...
Yeah.
Whatever, or a yard short of his overrunner.
But I thought good perspective from Vinny, though, just on a player's side. And it's something that, they are all told... Even though it seems so obvious, like if you're Manuel Class A, it's like, come on, dude. You didn't even need anybody to tell you couldn't do that. But just in general, no baseball or softball. I thought that was interesting. So a baseball player cannot bet on a softball game either. They must just think that there's too much of a
correlation. The sports have similarities. They're sort of adjacent to one another. Yeah. So
I thought that was interesting. I guess I did not know that. I knew you obviously couldn't bet on baseball, but I didn't know you couldn't bet on softball as well as a MLB player.
Yeah, like I could understand like the NFL not being able to bet on college football.
We've talked about that
because it is the same sport, or college football not being able to bet on the NFL. But yeah, baseball to softball, while they are similar, they're not the exact same sport. I mean, namely because
They're played by two different genders.
Right.
I don't know. It's that was interesting to me as well. But appreciate Vinny for joining us. He hates the Broncos. He got himself in a little bit of trouble there with his comment about the dynasty. Be careful. Be careful.
Not here, man.
Nope.
You leave that in New York where it belongs, Vinny. We like our dynasty here.
Vinny will join us again next Tuesday here on Cody and Gold. Logan, thanks for filling in, man.
Absolutely.
That's Logan Weber. He'll be back on Friday. Maybe Professor Weber if we don't get Professor Bink on Thursday's show.
Like Professor Weber should get a shot at this. You know, given official substitute.
We'll wait till Friday. We'll do Snitchline Thursday with Bink instead. We'll have Professor Weber.
It fits out very well.
Okay, I like that. All right. So by the way, Bink will be in tomorrow. We'll have Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, on the show. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes will also speak. And the text line's giving Logan a hard time about Pete Carroll wanting to hang out with him as a coach, saying you might as well just go to Bob Evans or Crackle Barrel or watch the Andy Griffith Show. If you missed that, check the podcast. I hope you guys have a good rest of the day. Thanks again to all the vets out there, those that have served, those that are currently serving our country on Veterans Day. The Drive is up next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.